its girl, and it turns into a bitch.
We're the Bungie Kids, with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show, with Brian and friends.
And Frankie.
Live from Bungie Towers, Frank O'Connor.
Welcome back to the now hilariously regular Bungie podcast show. We're now available on iTunes, thanks to the power of technology. With us today, Luke Smith, who's allegedly the producer of the podcast, he told me today. Brian Gerard is here, and we're joined by a special guest. Luke, who is it?
It's Jamie Evans.
Woohoo! Test manager, Bungie.
Welcome, Jevons, as we call you around here.
Thank you.
What's your job entail? What do you do?
So test manager means a lot of different things. Pretty much the way that the job was initially laid out to me was there's no job too big, no job too small. As far as if somebody needs help setting up a lab, you know, I should be helping them do it. Or, you know, it can be sitting into some long-term planning meetings on what the next greatest big thing is going to be as far as, like, planning and staffing and stuff like that. So a lot of different things. It, oftentimes, you're kind of the glue that holds things together. You do stuff that, so that your guys can get their work done. If there's randomization that comes about, I try to jump on that and let them actually, like, sit at their desk and do their jobs while I run around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Have you ever had to tighten up the graphics on level 3? I've seen it in the TV commercials.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Tighten up. There's the graphic. A dial, right? You just twist it, and the graphics become tighter and tighter.
Oh, exactly. Like, I mean, it's more like twisting the knob on the back of the graphic engineer. Is that what you're talking about? Like, come on, how?
So a lot of people on the project are starting to get closed down, starting to go on vacation.
Sons of bitches, they are.
Well, you guys aren't.
I'm sorry.
You're not done?
You guys are just smooth sailing right now. You don't have a lot of work going on at the moment, right?
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. No, this is where Test earns their paycheck right now is, you know, all the code is in, or most of the code is in, and content is starting to stabilize. So, yeah, this is where we are earning our keep, so to speak. I mean, filing bugs every day, reacting to the developer requests as far as like, hey, this new bug came up, we don't understand it, please track it down and get us info. Sometimes that's a needle in the haystack, or, you know, Johnny over in the corner found something weird, you know, the wind was blowing really funny outside, can you guys repro that inside, that kind of stuff. So yeah, we're now, this is our hard working hour.
So if this goes badly, people lose jobs?
No, probably, yes, absolutely, absolutely correct. I think my boss has said that once or twice, but yes, it's important. I mean, Halo 3 is a big, big freaking deal, and we're out here busting our ass on it.
So you guys use the most common interface with that we have with the test team is probably Raid, which is it's a software tool. It's just an application anyone can open at their desk, but do you want to explain what it is right quick?
Yeah, Raid is just kind of a database that just tracks individual items, and these items are called bugs, which are product defects. And so it's just a big database that you can query on different things, such as the description or the title or keywords, so you can punch up all the bugs that have to deal with, you know, the Banshee, or you can you can dial up all the bugs that deal with one of the developers. And this is just a communication tool so that when we find product defects, we can assign it over to the developer and they get these work items, and also you can track progress. You can go, holy cats, this guy's got 200 bugs assigned to him. That's a big deal. He's never going to finish that in time for ship. Or this guy's got 5 bugs assigned to him, but they're really hard. So it's but just a
you guys use Raid sometimes too to file suggestions as well, right? It's not always product defects.
It is. I mean, there's sometimes suggestions, you know, work items.
Is there,
you know,
a category that says, like, Frank lost, therefore there must be a bug? Because we've talked about this before. It's
yeah, it's called lag.
It's historical. Every time lag. Frank plays multiplayer, inevitably, like, a whole slew of bugs come out of nowhere that no one's ever seen before that result in his demise. So you might want to think about assigning a tester just to stand over Frank's shoulder from now through.
They do. They're trying to catch me riding dirty.
Oh god, is that the same as Brokeback? I mean,
we should explain that a bug typically is just a description of what happened,
right?
And sometimes we can just say attach screenshot, so we can find like some weird graphic error or a missing texture or whatever, and just say this is weird and it's missing, is this normal, and we just attach a screenshot. So everyone who's working on it can just look at it and say, yeah, that ain't right.
Absolutely right. I mean, it's giving the developers all, or the artists or the designers, everything they need to be able to reproduce the bug locally on their system. So it can be repro steps, or for a tester, it always has to be repro steps of, you know, 1, 2, 3, leading them right to where the product defect is. And then also we include lots of debugging tools as far as like links to debug text folders that they can determine what kind of debug spew was going on at that time.
God, so. That sounds like so much work. That's not how I file bugs.
It isn't. You're absolutely right, Luke. It is not. And we got to talk. You're new here, aren't you?
Luke files bugs like say anything, and he just like rolls up outside your house with a boombox and just starts playing in your eyes until you like fix it.
Yeah, whatever works. Whatever
it doesn't help when you guys have a bug that just says like needler equals fail, carbine equals win.
Noobler is killing me all the time. No, that doesn't really help all that much. But
need more BRs.
Yeah, or to repro steps, you know, step one, turn on game. Step two, bring lead skills. Step three, dominate mission. That's Luke's bugs, I imagine.
Yes, they're all.
So who's the worst bug writer?
That is a good question. So
come on,
the most entertaining is Marty O'Donnell by far. Marty O'Donnell is definitely the most entertaining.
What is a typical Marty bug sound like?
You know, it's mainly fairly sarcastic, you know, like please turn down suck or stuff like that. I mean, but actually, he logs bugs and he logs them with screenshots and whatnot. So they're good bugs, but normally they have a little bit of bite, but they get fixed. And so that's all that matters.
Some of it's subjective though, right? I mean, it's not all, this is definitely a problem. I mean, some of the things that people log as priority one or two bugs are, they're just opinions, right?
Yeah, and those are the tough ones, right? Because oftentimes you have to get a designer pinned down on what is actually the design and what they want. So yeah, a lot of things go in as opinion, and sometimes they ruffle feathers.
Yeah. I always put those in as pry fours because I know that the designers are going to get mad.
Oh, I put them in as pry two.
You guys ultimately, Jamie and the leads are the ones that ultimately decide what the priority of a bug is, right? You don't really pay any attention to what Luke assigns, for example.
I think they pay attention to what I assign. Are you kidding?
So you guys do have the flag called accessibility, which allows you to say how important it is to you. But as far as like when it gets to the people that actually fix the bug, you're absolutely right that the leads, they determine the priority and the workflow that it gets done. Like a pry one bug is what the lead will assign to it, and
at this point in time, I have to imagine you guys are, you know, you meet what, once, twice, three times a day in bug review triage, where it's looking at what's out there, what should be fixed, what's too risky to fix, what's really going to detrimentally affect the game,
and what's won't fix.
Won't fix is a big thing.
The most common resolution of all.
No, postpone. Come on. We're going to fix that someday.
You can't postpone it until the next game. That's what Marty does.
That gives you a little bit of sugar. Yeah, we'll fix it next time. Come on. It's all fine. But yeah, I mean, we meet like four times a day now. It's pretty, we spend at least half our day in committee talking about bugs. And it's good times. I mean, a lot of good, fun conversations happen when you're arguing about if a bug should be fixed.
Do you guys make fun of people's bugs? You do, don't you? In triage, you're like...
Yeah. Normally we do make a lot of fun, or just, you know, like, why the heck we asked this guy to give, you know, this amount of information? Why isn't Luke attaching screenshots to his bugs?
I don't know how, man. My manager doesn't teach me that stuff.
Takes really bad screenshots. That's why it's an artistic decision.
Luke just figured out how to get this podcast on iTunes. Okay, so just bear with him.
True or false, Luke? You did not attach album art to the iTunes version of this podcast.
True, so I did. It's caching and uploading slowly.
How can we trust you to attach a screenshot to a bug?
My manager hasn't instructed me on how to file bugs correctly.
Yeah, I have. I said ship it.
I can sack correct up. You.
How many testers do you reckon you have in your army right now? Because it seems like every day there's a whole new busload of testers getting dropped off, and they're all fresh-eyed and ready to go. And then, like, you know, a week later, they're picking them up off the floor. So it seems like it's a grueling department to be working in nowadays.
It is right now. I mean, we have people here at 6 a.m. and the last shift punches out at like 1:30. So I mean, there's a lot of coverage.
And you're here through all of it.
No, I am not. But I'm here for a good chunk.
You're supposed
of that.
To say yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh hell yeah, I'm here all the time. I sleep here.
there's about 80 testers, counting 12 FTE that we have from MGS and inside of Bungie ourselves. So that's a lot. And I mean, that comes from our morning crew. We have guys that test just single player, multiplayer. We have guys that just test the localized content. There's, I believe it's 9 native speaking.
I see some of those guys up here, like, sleeping at their desks.
Ooh, I don't know.
You might need to rat them out, because that's
just
not...
Saying. Just see some dude sleeping.
Here all night, dude.
Why are you going to call them out on the air like that?
Yeah, why you got to do that, Luke?
They're working hard.
I hurt feelings.
The log testers? Because it's like freaking midnight at where they're from. So
they've been here for like 3 months. Adjust.
No, the log testers are in the other building. Thank you very much. And those guys are busting their ass.
We have a second building for tests?
Yes, yeah. We do, because the army keeps growing.
Yep. The funny thing is about testing is that it probably historically, and jump in if I'm wrong here, probably historically was seen as kind of the like entry level position for joining a game developer, and probably doesn't get the respect that it deserves. Like, so not to blow smoke up your ass, but without test, the game will suck and it won't ship on time and all sorts of other dependencies, right? So yeah, there's that. But also, who is the boss of Bungie Studios?
Yeah, that Harold Ryan character.
Harold Ryan used to be a tester, true or false?
True. He used to be a contract tester back in the day.
Well, a lot of people do get their foot in the door, right? Just because need so many bodies, right? But one of the biggest misconceptions I've heard is that people are like, oh, I love to play games. I'll be a tester.
Cash play.
And, yeah, I mean, we all love to play games, but do we love to play this same exact mission or this same encounter to repro the same bug 100 times in a row?
We should tell them about cash play with determinism turned on.
It's not fun. I mean,
The frame rate sucks, and you find one bug, and then you spend all day trying to narrow it down so you can give it to a developer so they can fix it.
So you're not just kicking it like if you worked at like a game media website or a game reviewer per se. These guys are really just getting ground down and focusing on one small piece, barely having any fun.
It's all about attention to detail. Yeah. I don't think it's all that fun.
No, I don't think it is.
Exactly. It's no fun at all.
I wasn't kidding. I mean, it's the unsung heroes of, you know, when do you ever see really prolific testers out there giving speeches at conferences and like leading the industry forward? Like they're all behind the scenes. Like you said, that's the glue that's holding it all together.
In the trenches, and they're tracking down the big bugs and the little small tiny bugs that, you know, if the Halo 3 gets out, you're going to go, what the heck? There's a reload glitch or something. No, these testers have these freaking test cases.
For the record, Jamie was not the test manager on Halo 2, which did have a couple of known button glitches.
BXR.
I've heard about, isn't there one tester who found a handful of reload-related glitches here, and then they were all fixed? Luke Timmons was telling me about it.
Several testers have found various. I mean, we've redone that system, so several different times we've found various glitches and redone them. Yep,
I think it's kind of fun finding a bug that no one else has ever found before.
Yeah, you were talking about something last night while we were playing. Something that you knew about.
Make sure you get
an ammo
raid, pal.
I just send you an email.
Yeah.
I don't know what this raid thing is.
Don't sit on
actually,
your bugs.
I heard that I have like 3 or 4 bugs from Halo 2 that are like 3 years old that are still assigned to me in raid. But.
Yeah, BXR, standby, and
way to go.
You didn't look.
Job too.
Does explain why the graphics aren't very tight on level 3 though. Now that we put that in perspective,
I checked my shaders in last night, so it's not my problem anymore.
I was looking at you, Frank. You're.
Yeah, what's
you're the one with the
go
agenda?
Ahead, come on.
You've got the agenda in front
come
of you
on,
as
producer.
Well.
Producer?
So,
produce.
So I met one of the testers, actually. It was like GameStop or Game Crazy tournament event maybe 6 months ago. Uh-huh. And I call him Mongo, but I don't know what his real name is. But he's like 8 feet tall, 500 pounds, just a monster.
He was on the hardcore team.
He can like palm dudes in his hand.
Yeah, he was on my hardcore team.
The hardcore team.
Yeah, he is like, he's super hardcore. He won the tournament at that Game Crazy thing.
Actually, though, some of our multiplayer testers are the best people in this building, hands down.
I mean, we do get some guys out of the freaking industry, kind of, sort of. I mean, guys that are very hardcore that come in and they know how to play the...
Yeah, well, isn't it true that after Halo 2 and some of the stuff that we've looked back on, like BXR or Super Jumps, I mean, I was on the impression that this time you guys really made a focus of, let's get some people that are... those types of guys and get them in here right away and like let's find any of these things that may be existing in Halo 3 so we don't ship that way.
Yeah, we've talked about one of the kids. The kid you're talking about, Frank, is Magic
Mongo.
Fingers.
Magic
it's
Fingers?
That's what Luke Timmons calls him because he's done stuff where it's like humans should not be able to hit those buttons on the controller that fast to reload a gun.
Maybe he can do the red versus blue button press for me then.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
I should bug that.
It's already assigned to Urn Raid. We'll see it in Halo 12.
By design.
So when you're looking at hiring people into the test team, like the FTE test team, what are you looking for?
Like attention to detail, work ethic. I mean, definitely like one of the most important attributes for a tester is organization, attention to detail, being able to attack a problem, trying to break it down to its smallest component. I mean, that's what we do with these bugs that we see in a game. You see some sort of problem, it might look like, you know, there's nothing that's related to it. It's just this weird one-off case. And then you try to break it down and figure out, yeah, actually, these are the repro steps. It happens in all these different areas. And so you can present it to the developer. So really, organization's key. Work ethic in Bungie definitely is a key. I mean, as we all know, we definitely work some hours here. But all of our FTE testers here are also technically skilled. I mean, you have to be able to write our scripts. You need to be able to follow what the developers are doing and have an understanding of at a high level what they can do in code and whatnot.
But in general, though, I mean, someone's not going to walk off the streets and become a full-time tester.
Not at all.
Most people would probably start at a contract level, and like you have to work your way up through the ranks, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everyone that's an FTE in our test org now has got a computer science degree, bachelor's of science.
Most of them or all of them have shipped games.
Yep. I mean, I think all of them except Dominic were a contractor at one point as well. But yeah, everybody has got like two or three games under their belt that are FTE here.
Actually, you know, that reminds me too. You've been at Bungie how long now?
I started 6 months before Halo 2 shipped, so what's that, like 3 years?
But prior to that, you worked on some other Microsoft Game Studios titles, right?
I've been in Microsoft for like 10 years.
Wow.
Like 95, I worked on Fury Cubed, huge seller.
Do you get like a special cardigan for 10 years?
It hasn't been 10 years. Like in 2 months it will be. But yeah, you get like 10 shares of stock too. Woo, baby. Retired.
Bam. Are you serious? They give you 10 shares of stock for 10-year anniversary?
Yep.
Wow.
That's the same if you were like Shane Kim or Peter Moore, right? Same amount of stock.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, Peter Moore doesn't get stock anymore.
Oh, he's got plenty.
You mean Don Matrick.
Don Matrick. Awesome guy.
Yeah, love that guy.
He's awesome. Good looking man. He's welcome to be on our podcast anytime. He's a handsome, handsome, powerful man.
All right, then.
Week 2 of sucking up to the boss. Yeah. It's complete.
Oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. I was just saying what was on my mind.
So how did you get started at Microsoft?
Actually, it was a friend of a friend. So I had a friend that was a test manager in Flight Sim, of all things. And so we went to Montana State together, and he called me up my last semester at Montana State, and he's like, come out here and earn $16 an hour being a contract tester for Flight Sim. I'm like, $16 an hour? Kick ass, you know.
Playing video games.
Yeah, playing video games. Flight Sim. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, I got to repro this transatlantic flight. Damn it.
They had me test like transponders. Honest to God, there's like 5,000 transponders in North America. And that was my first job. That's it. But anyway, you know, $16 an hour on games. And it was my good buddy. And so, you know, I drove out here and slept on his couch. And I did the rest of my studies remotely. And that was like actually over 10 years ago because I was a contractor for a couple years out here at Microsoft.
You know, and you guys mentioned this earlier, but in case people out there couldn't connect the dots, I always give Jamie props because I can't imagine personally ever walking into a position where you're taking the job that your current studio manager used to be doing. So you imagine the scrutiny that Jamie is under every day. And I sit close enough to Jamie where I actually get to overhear a lot of these
Does he hit him?
Exchanges and shenanigans.
I do get hit.
He hits you, doesn't he?
Lawyers out there?
No, yeah. Jamie can hold his own, but he's under a microscope that the rest of us, I don't think we're not necessarily subject to. So,
well, you know, I think it's a double-edged sword, quite honestly, because, you know, it's great to having a manager that knows your job very well. And, I mean, Harold's a smart guy, and he comes up with great suggestions, you know. So it's a double-edged sword.
No, week 3 of sucking up to the boss.
No, I hear so much fear in your voice, Jevons.
Yes. No, I suck up to Harold because he will strike me down.
Yes, he will smite us all. But, no, I mean, he does a good job. And I think it's a great deal having a manager. It'd be much more difficult when you have a manager that doesn't understand your job, I think.
That's a good point. Like Frank and Luke.
That's exactly what our relationship's like.
I'll still make with the smiting. I'm not scared.
What about the beta? You want to talk about the beta at all?
I mean, a lot of people felt like they were getting a chance to participate in the test process via the beta. So Was that a helpful tool for you guys?
The beta was tremendous. It was very helpful, and they did participate in making Halo 3 better.
You going to send them stock?
No. No, we are not. We just sent them love during the beta, and then we turned it all off on them. But, no, I mean, you can't you know, simulate some of that stuff in the lab. I mean, having 50,000-plus people playing the beta.
And actually, we had over 700-something thousand unique players that logged a game. Wow. Yeah, so it was
You're wearing your Halo t-shirt today, aren't you?
Pretty ridiculous.
How many did we have uniques?
No, that was uniques.
Like, no,
uniques.
I meant, I guess, not
uniques. Simultaneous.
Yeah.
It was 50-plus, right?
You're talking about like concurrent, all at the same time? I don't know top of my head. I need to consult my...
If we hit Roger with a bat, those numbers would fly out of him like a...
But yeah, it was a lot, right? I mean, it was like our internal tests, we would, even when we had 5,000 or 6,000 Microsoft people involved, we never had more than a couple hundred online at any given time, right?
Yeah. Not at all. And I mean, you watch some of these guys, how much they played the game. I mean, we had so many hours logged on the game. It's not even funny. And
what was the craziest thing that you guys came across in the beta that just blew you away? Or you totally didn't we've talked about before that we knew the beta had some issues before it went out the door. We were aware of a lot of those, but was there anything that your team was just totally blown away that somebody figured it out or?
Let's see. What were they? Anyway?
What about the custom game? The whole custom game.
Yeah. It was. Yep.
There were custom games in the beta. Yeah,
exactly.
What do you mean? You invited me to your custom game.
Yeah, you got really emo that night. You were like, I can't believe you and Frank are doing this.
I didn't turn off my machine.
You should have been setting a positive example.
You work for Bungie now.
Scarlet Letter.
But the way that issue worked is like as soon as anyone joined your game and then left, it's like this viral thing. So everybody immediately had custom game functionality. So
Luke got to play
single-handedly enabled thousands of people to play.
Well done.
Actually, Frank invited me to the game. It was from some of our
Frank was
just
testing.
Frank
was reproing.
That was ad hoc.
You were filing a raid bug. I know. I know what Frank was doing.
Yeah, I've seen Frank's raid bugs. They make mine look correct.
Can both do better.
But that was a surprise to a lot of people.
It was just totally.
The ingenuity and craftiness of our fans just never is always amazing. It's crazy what these guys can do.
You put the product in front of, you know, like what you said, a couple hundred thousand fans, and they're gonna find some weird things. And that's awesome that, you know, it was reported. We got good logs on that. We had a lot of people that documented kind of how we just cut
custom games as a result of that, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And all those
because people didn't like the UI and was too clunky to get into the game, so we just removed that feature. I heard
the game in a way we didn't like. So.
Yeah.
My favorite was the dude.
You're joking, right?
What?
That we didn't really cut those, did we?
What, custom games? I didn't think there was a lot of demand for them.
Everyone just wants to play matchmaking.
Yeah. And I think Team Slayer is on the block, too. Jamie and committee still have to decide if it's worth shipping that feature
Won't
or not.
Fix.
Postponed.
My favorite bug was the dude who got out of the soft ceiling on Valhalla and flew to space.
Yeah, did that get fixed? Did you crush Hopes and Dreams?
We even released it.
Oh,
that's how good it was.
Wow.
No, well, I mean, that's awesome. When people could, you know, show us that they can get out of the maps and whatnot and being able to watch their films and stuff like that. I mean, the films are huge being able to track down bugs. So
that's a good point.
There's no doubt that the beta helped the product get a lot more stabler and found a lot of bugs. And especially, what was that? That seems like 6 years ago, but that was like 2 months ago.
Has Jamie seen the film that we talked about on the last show? The bug that allowed Joe Staten to beat you in that head to head match.
I don't know if you saw it. Paul Cliff nuked it pretty quickly. I thought
it went through raid. Jamie would have.
It was a bug with the elite model, the head ducking during elevation changes, and it would duck between the arms so that you couldn't actually register a head.
It cost Luke a match. He lost by 1 point.
I've pretty much not forgiven the elite model tragedy. Ever since. I'm playing it exclusively now because I believe it's more powerful.
World's smallest violin.
Nope, losing's crap.
You consider yourself a pretty good player, considering how much time you log in the game? Or?
Are you like on my level? Are you up here with me?
I think I am up there with you. Look,
really?
Are you on the hardcore team?
I am not on the hardcore team. That's just saying.
He was actually busy working.
Somebody once told me that a certain person was appointed the hardcore team because they were not important to the game and they had plenty of time to spare.
I think that was me who told you that.
Okay.
Yeah,
I guess you don't get a lot of time to actually sit down and play the game. You're just you're managing. You're just pushing bugs through the pipe.
I mean, it's a big thing for me just to make sure that, you know, I sit down and play the game every week and play through all the levels and whatnot. I mean, unfortunately, it is a lot of red tape running around making sure that you're pushing the papers and whatnot. But yeah, I am not one of the better players. But I guess since I've been here a while, I'm a lot better than I used to be.
So you would hold my own. You would say you're like a Frank level player, just from the description there. It sounds.
I don't think Luke really wants to go there with our recent record in multiplayer.
I think I should tangle with you. I mean, you just don't.
You should play with us.
We should. We should do a follow-up. I would like to see that.
We could do a hump day or something.
Just for the hell of it. Right now,
the artists want to take us on a hump day.
Yeah, they want to take on Team Podcast in the hump day.
I'll take on the artists.
Are these the same artists that, I don't know if they still do, but in Halo 2 days, they had their own special kid glove session where only they could play together?
It still happens.
Oh, it was nice. Like Michael Wu and his guys. Hey,
with auto-centering turned on.
Don't get me wrong. These guys are obviously incredibly talented artists, but we used to have these daily plays, but these guys didn't want to play with the rest of the team because it was too competitive. It wasn't fair, so they want their own little milk and cookies and
We have plenty of good art. Like Tom Doyle is pretty good.
Mike Zach is a really good player. He's a really good player.
There is a perception, and let's throw this down as a gauntlet glove slap that the artists can't hang with the community team.
That's right? True.
I believe.
Bring it.
I think we should probably do that.
And you also create Mr. Chief art that's world renowned on your own.
If your skills are anywhere near as good as my Mr. Chief art, then we're gonna there's nowhere to go with that metaphor.
We're gonna push stool.
We're gonna push stool.
What else do we got for you, Jevons? So save films have made it a lot easier. Like to repro bugs and watch the way.
I mean the tools that we have at Bungie are tremendous, and save films are and have been a huge, huge way for us to reproduce bugs. I mean, being the fact that, hey, I can play through a level and, hey, I just saw a bug. I wonder if it's on the film. Hey, it's on film. Guess what? I have repro steps. I can give it to a dev. They can watch it occur and then go, hey, there's the bug. So though it is, you don't get too many bugs that are resolved back to you as not repro, because all I have to do is watch the film to minute two and, yep, there it is.
I had one resolved as not repro.
Did you not put a film in it?
No, well, I didn't know how to do that. My manager didn't teach me.
Didn't know how to do it. You tried nothing. Yeah,
it was like a UI bug. It was about the hold RB to pick up assault rifle appearing when.
Yeah.
It could have been delusional. I might have switched weapons. I don't know. It's very early.
Probably got a split screen leg. It's a really common problem.
Leg. Leg is not the
This is, I mean, just, you know, looking at just the breadth and scope of Halo 3 and all the facets to the game, the user-created content stuff that we have, is this the scariest, biggest, craziest game you've ever had to try to test?
Oh, yeah, by far and away. I mean, Halo 3 is huge. I mean, with the... And all the features that we have, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay, sorry.
We're not live.
Take it out in the mix.
Yeah. Just go, actually, it's fine.
No, we'll do that in a bit.
Wow, you almost destroyed the entire studio just now.
We'll do the rapture horn over Jamie's little...
Why do you guys do this to me every week? It gets harder and harder. I'm
keeping you on your toes.
I'm like, all right, before we go to the show, don't talk about
put this rig to the test, all right? You got all this gear. Now there's no excuse that you can't edit out a little slip here or there.
I'll just throw in some Rapture Horn and Keith David.
There you go.
Seems we have guests. What else do we got?
I don't know.
Jevons?
Anything else? You got
that's the last item on the
list. Anything you want to give a shout out to or anything? I mean, we're just happy to have you on the podcast as an unsung hero, giving you your moment in the spotlight.
Thank you much. Thanks
before you crawl back into your cage.
Giving Tess a shout out. I mean, those guys are definitely working pretty dang hard here.
Absolutely.
As I said, here at 6 a.m. and punching out at 1:30 a.m.
Well, we're all here really early right now. It's about 6:30 in the morning.
Are you like Kathy Lee Gifford or something? You're like,
it's been tell us about Cody. There might be like a little shoe factory sweatshop thing going on here, but no.
How's Cody Jevons?
Yeah, I don't know. Give us some bugs. Yep. But now, thank you, boys, for having me on.
Cool. Well, thanks, Jamie. Thank Looking forward too. To seeing the fruits of your labor September 25th.
Game.
Yes, all fixed.
ZBR.
Yeah, I love that term.
How many bugs do you think have come through on Jamie's plate in just the time we've tied him up in this room?
Probably 400.
A couple dozen at least.
That's about 400. Yeah. Today. So there's probably 100 back there waiting for me.
The artists are logging gameplay bugs. It's too hard. Not normal.
Wow.
Throw it down.
That was Luke Smith.
Yeah, I got nothing but love for artists.
I'm just saying, you know, they threw the gauntlet down.
Okay, they get it. They're not as good as you, all right? Hardly anybody is. We bring this up every week.
I'm going to slow that part down and play it later back in my head over and over. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show, Jamie.
Hey, we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun. Have fun at committee.
Yes, 4 hours a day, whether we need it or not. And we need it.
All right. With that, we're going to move on.
We're going to take a break.
We don't have commercials. We haven't sold any ads.
Let's sell an ad.
Run one of the promo bumpers that we have.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Back. We obviously just had Jamie Evans on there talking a little bit about Test. Now it's just me, Luke, and Brian. And we have a mystery observer as well, so we're going to transcend our best behavior.
What?
It's not Don Matrick.
Yeah, we're being chaperoned now, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm having this changed. Can we have key cards switched so they don't work?
Well, if you'd have the light on outside that indicated we were on air, nobody would come walking in the middle of our session.
As soon as I convince audio that we needed an on-air light and a studio. Could we get a studio in the new building?
Yeah.
This could be your studio.
Yeah, totally.
Just put a little effort and elbow grease into it.
Yeah. Fail.
Well, most people would kill to have this resource.
Bug it and raid.
And won't fix. 2009.
I know my air quotes when I said studio didn't really come through over the podcast.
That's week two of It's Not a Real Studio Joke.
It's a dirty little room with a miserable pile of secrets.
And it's kind of seedy and dirty in here now, too. Kind of. There's trash everywhere, nasty. Junk. Yep.
Butterfinger wrappers, beer.
So what are we talking Jevons. About? What are we doing?
Well, the kids had a bunch of questions, just some little house cleaning issues. I think some stuff we should clear up for them.
So like what?
The first one is...
These are papers.
We're prepared. It's printed out from my email. Is there a different box art for each version of Halo 3?
Yes. So there's a different... So let me go through the list. There's different box art for each version of Halo, and there's different manual cover for each version of Halo, and there's a different form factor for each box. So your basic version, the regular edition, is a normal Xbox 360 case with a disc in it and a manual and whatever, you know, maybe an Xbox Live card, that sort of thing. The limited edition is it has obviously different art. It's a metal box. Inside the box, it's a custom case. The custom case contains the Xbox 360 executable disc, which has the AV calibration the tool, a bunch of other stuff. Yeah. It also contains the hardcover edition of the Bestiarum, which is the Guide to Covenant and other species in the Halo universe. The legendary edition... if you lift the helmet off of it, has a plinth, and inside the plinth, two plastic boxes.
Did you just make that word up?
What?
Plinth.
Plinth. No, it's a real word. Look it up. Get real. Plinth, kids. Learn something. The more you know. So inside, two
didn't
plastic
Marty do
cases,
that jingle? Do we have the copyright?
Just like
for
Xbox 360 game discs, and one is the game, and in the other one is the same Xbox 360 disc that's in the limited edition, the metal box edition. And also limited edition, the legendary edition bonus DVD.
And that's it.
No, there's also a collection of storyboards by Bungie artist Lee Wilson.
But back to the question at hand, yes, there are different boxes for each version of Halo
3. I give you the longhand answer.
Okay. That was good. That's helpful. It makes it get closer to an hour.
You're almost touching it. You almost have dirty fingerprints on the
face. What's your favorite box of the three?
I'm literally torn between the limited because I can have it in my house and not be embarrassed, and the legendary because I have it in my house and embarrassed.
You don't mean
it's so huge.
You don't mean embarrassed. You mean you can have it in a place that your wife won't make you put it away.
Sure.
What
did.
You mean, like the helmet? You can't display it up on your mantle in the living room.
My wife does not like me fumbling with my helmet in the house. It makes her really angry.
Is that why you go to a sketch's house
for our helmet parties? Yes. where we buff our plates.
The next question a couple dudes asked was, they already know about the CQB and the EVA permutations, and people are wondering, how are these going to be unlocked?
They are unlocked, right? That's the only thing that we've revealed. And they're going to be unlocked during the normal course of gameplay with some effort. Not tremendous amount of effort, but effort.
I would maybe go so far as to say that at least one of those things would require a tremendous amount of effort.
The more awesome they are, the more effort is required. Put it that way. I mean, you know.
But there's a couple that are available right out of the gate.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? No extra work required.
Yep.
Another dude wants to know, and I guess I'll go last. It's a question for everyone. How many hours of Halo 3 have you played?
Jeez.
I've played all the way through it like maybe 20 or 30 times. So it's like 4 hours. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Somebody said an email that they'd played 50 or 60 hours of it today. And that sort of sounds right.
Like, I mean, we've been playing this game for a couple of years now. Yeah, if you think about all the internal alphas, the public beta, all of our take homes, we've probably accumulated a tremendous amount of time.
Right. I mean, the big difference now is that we're playing for fun as well as take home test, a lot of campaign.
Well, we played, three or four hours alone just last night, right?
Yeah, we played last night in the take home test.
We had a campaign take home test last night.
Luke plays at least 6-7 hours a day at his desk when he's quote unquote working.
Then I,
testing, he calls it.
Yeah. I take a build home pretty regularly and play at home as well.
Yeah, so do I.
So.
I don't know. So the answer is a lot.
I think I've probably, since I started, played through the campaign at least 30 times with some levels, at least.
You should try it on normal and heroic and legendary now.
It took a second. I was like, because you started with normal, and I'm like, only think, Frank and Joe play on normal.
You think with the same level of skill that you play the game, yeah.
Oh, wow, look at you. Another dude asks, will phantoms be killable in Halo 3? You guys said that you could kill them at E3.
So, yes, they will, but they're making them harder because we were so awesome at E3. So
true.
They're not going to be melee-able anymore.
Our machine gun turret exploits got the attention of some designers who...
And they're like, well, wait, if Frankie can knock a phantom out of the sky, there's something wrong.
Which is correct. Yeah, totally correct.
But you can still kill them in some instances with the right weapons, right?
If you have the right tools for the job.
Well, the thing they're forgetting, and I'm serious about this, is that we couldn't regularly knock them out of the sky till we played far more times than anybody else is going to play the game typically.
You have to know where to shoot it, and you have to do it without getting killed.
You have to know where the sniper is. I mean, it's not just like grab the gun, point it at the phantom.
? And win.
Yeah.
All right.
But sometimes it's in your interest not to destroy it if you want to maybe shoot off a part of it, right? This is something I learned from Luke last night.
I actually gave a little tutorial on that.
You did.
About how you can, on the Phantoms, there's a turret, and you can actually shoot the turret.
There's two turrets. There's a front-mounted plasma turret, and there's also a grunt commandeered rotating plasma
Which
turret.
Which is the one that you and Luke kept fighting over?
Oh, I actually gave it up.
The movies. The two times I claimed I knocked it off, I did.
Lies.
Go watch the movie, Tale of the Tape.
Lies.
Go watch it.
I don't need to go watch it. Lars did it one of the times, and you were like, well, it was me. I just did it. And Lars was like,
example I watched.
I'm just saying. Yeah,
so how many people were actually playing in this game with Phantoms last night then?
Well, this was over a
busted.
Snap. Well, it's a tested feature. Yeah. You know?
What? System Link Co-op?
Yeah.
I know. It's fun as hell.
And our take-home test.
I personally can't wait for the debut of the annotated Luke playthroughs of campaign that he's already
promised. Oh, did I tell you about this? That I want to do this for launch?
Marty, why don't you go ahead and give a tease so we can get the our audience excited about what they can look forward to in September.
So I think in September I'm going to do a thing where I play through different levels of the game and I will provide color commentary.
Can you give us an example, like right now? Just pretend like you're playing. What kind of commentary?
It's got to be all live. There'll be a lot of like, that's bullshit. I shouldn't have died there. Oh, that's how the pros do it. Stuff like that.
It's going to be fascinating.
Just wait. Bungie recommends.
Yeah.
I think that's everything from the community for this week.
We got anything else then to wrap this thing up? Or
no, I think that, I mean, God, we're getting close to an hour.
Really?
No, not really.
Well, you'll edit it down. It's going to be like a 30-minute show.
Yeah, it'll be a 15-minute show. Jevons will be cut off throughout.
Any passerbys we can pull in just to stretch this out a little bit?
Nope.
We got nothing. Well, Frank and I are leaving town.
Guests. Yep.
Frank and I are flying off to Holland.
Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Smoking the pancake.
I think you used that bit last time.
Did we?
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Might as well bring Sean Connery back real quick if we're going to reuse material.
What do you mean? We can't control when he calls in. He's on some other time zone.
He's uncontrollable.
Right.
Yeah.
Last time he just happened to be available and interested. We had him on hold for a while and we patched him through.
Yep. Can't be helped.
So that's all for this week. If you have any feedback, send it all to me. Don't bother with Brian and Frank.
That's true. We won't be on email or listening to anything you say for the next week.
No, it's true. And you can download the podcast now and subscribe to it via iTunes or check it out at BungieNet.
There was some who say this day would never come.
Yeah. What are they to say now? Is that what you're waiting for?
No, I mean...
Do you guys want me to leave? I mean, do you want some time alone?
Yeah, Sketch and I are going to go off alone.
In a pup tent.
And play some co-op on Legendary.
If you're sticking around after the theme tune, we do play out in a theme tune, right?
There'll be music on the way out, yeah.
If you're sticking around for the after the credits, extra special, super secret, super sauce, there is some. What is it, Luke?
Well, while you guys are over in Amsterdam, you guys announced that there's 4-player online co-op in Halo 3. How's that work, Frank?
How does 4-player online co-op work?
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of configurations for it, right?
Yeah. It's, way to wreck the drama. Step one,
cut a hole in the box.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah. So you can play 1-player campaign, 2-player co-op campaign, 3-player co-op campaign, or 4-player co-op campaign through Xbox Live or System Link or a simple combination of split screen. So you can have 2 players per screen in any sort of subsequent combination.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm giving Luke the obligatory...
make sure you fact check
that. Does Frank know what he's talking about?
Yeah. Luke, checked it with design and engineering, and 2 players can play against another 2 players, split screen.
Well, not with.
Or one and one.
Yeah, they can play with, not against. Yes. You don't want to play a team.
Yeah. Yes. Or like we were last night, against each other.
Yeah, well, that's how it always is. Like Team Elite versus everyone else.
Right.
Well, yeah, Team Elite. So where did that name come from?
That came from a play session where it was, I believe, I was the chief, Frank was the arbiter, and a few weeks ago, you and Lars were Team Elite. But you were the driver for Team Elite on a mission that involved vehicles.
Well, and to be clear, players 3 and 4 are literally Elite models for people that maybe haven't seen that on Bungie.net yet.
Right.
So player 1 is the chief, player 2 is the arbiter, and there are 2 new Elite characters. You can read their bios on BNet, so...
And they're full. I mean, they're full featured. Their characters.
Yeah. So, to clarify, everyone has the same abilities. They all jump the same height, run at the same speed, all that stuff. Whether human or elite,
there's
different weapon starts.
It does change a little bit depending on which one I'm controlling. He performs better than the others.
Good lord! Go back to Sangelios.
Britonia.
Britonia. No, they do have different weapon starts. Chief will, in certain encounters, start with, say, a pistol and an assault rifle. Elites will start with, like, a carbine and a plasma rifle. It depends on the mission, actually. Your weapon starts change.
And so Team Elite came from the beginning of a mission where everyone gets into vehicles and drives through a tunnel, a dark area. And there's a cool little jump in there, and Frank was driving. And Frank is, without a doubt, one of the best drivers probably that I've played with at the studio. I'm not being sarcastic at all. Like, he knows how to drive the vehicles.
And I can't do anything else.
If there's a driving situation, like, just I'm letting Frank drive. And then who is driving the other
I kind of feel like we've already covered this in a past episode.
I know, but I it's worth going back to.
Where some even implied that maybe something was inadvertently alluded to or leaked.
Yeah.
Now we can definitively say, yes, we are all 4 playing on Xbox Live together. Yes, I crashed my Warthog 30 seconds out of the gate. Yes, I got it stuck in an impossible position that we can't even repro to this day.
Yes, how did you blew try it
to
up get out?
And yes, to dislodge it, I threw a plasma grenade and annihilated our vehicle.
And walked the rest of the way.
Which would have resulted in like, what,
Guys, could you restart the mission?
We don't have a vehicle. Of on we're like, foot no, we're walking, driving. So.
Yeah, let's see you guys later, peace.
Actually,
what about last night?
What about last night's sweet revenge?
What about the four player one vehicle shenanigan we pulled off?
Right, when Lars and Frank and Luke and I somehow ended up odd man out on foot, and my vehicle was destroyed. And you guys were like, aha, eat it, sucker, and tearing off in your warthog. And down the street you went. And I think you guys came back. One of you guys did an amazing power slide that just perfectly clipped me.
Oh, yeah. That was an amazing betrayal. Oh, my God.
And then I respawned just in time to somehow I think I stuck it or I blew up your warthog, ejected you guys, stole it, and then drove off in the sunset and left you all eating my dust.
I don't remember that, but I do remember as letting somebody surf on the front of the hog.
That was Lars, I think he got on the hood of the warthog, right? I stole shotgun after
somebody just stood on the windshield. Yeah.
But I mean, every time we've had a four-player take-home test, the next morning we spent at least an hour recounting awesome tales, saying it was the best Halo experience we've had in our entire life until the next take-home test, in which something more amazing seems to always happen.
I mean, that was exactly what my mail said last night to feedback, was the last time the four of us played co-op was a few weeks ago, and it was incredible. And last night eclipsed it in every single way.
So I actually have footage that I recorded and archived from that first historic take-home session. So I'm looking forward to getting that out on BNet when the time later on down the road, just as a way to look back, and people can see the Team Elite mishaps and they've heard about.
They can see the element of my gameplay that everybody makes fun of the next day and understand it in a better context.
Which is what?
Well, the thing that makes my gameplay especially laughable between levels, the thing that Luke is obsessed with.
Winning?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
The thing that gives the game extra replay value.
Yeah, the thing that
I'm obsessed... Oh, sorry, we're in... No,
the
I
thing that
it.
I obsess about.
Wink,
absolutely.
Wink. Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah. God.
But we'll have to learn that very soon.
There was one of the things that was the most that continues to be one of the most exciting things about the take homes is that we do see new stuff. Like last night, a mission that we played through had like completely new mechanics and completely new like encounter design. And it was just like it was insane the amount of enemies on screen.
I remember one of those first times when it was an earlier build. One of the missions wasn't fully fleshed out. There was a point where we got as far as we could get because scripting was somehow broken. Remember that?
And what ensued?
We're up on this precipice and the door wouldn't open that we knew we needed to go through. So we're like, what the hell? We spent like 20 minutes just blowing the crap out of each other with grenades.
Yep.
Yeah, never got old either.
Nope, not at all.
I have that on footage still too. So.
we should show that someday.
The best part is when Luke got killed by that inanimate object, otherwise inanimate object.
When the thing fell
on your head.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
I rated it. Well, I think that's...
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, it's awesome. I'm glad we can get this out and confirm it. It's really exciting. Is it a coincidence that we got the iTunes subscription hooked up at the same time as the four-player co-op? Because
some might say...
Some were casting doubt on both of those. If we couldn't figure out one, how could we certainly...
How could you do one without the other? They're so intertwined.
But here they are. Now they're both in the bag, and we're moving forward.
Yep. And we will be back with the next edition of the Bungie Podcast after you guys get back from Amsterdam.
Yeah. Let's not call it a week. Let's call it like some indeterminate period of time.
Yeah, it's gonna be once you get back. And
yeah, but it may only be roughly a week or a week and a half after this show goes out. So
yeah, it's gonna be
by then. You'll be
appearing.
Back from your trip. We'll have tons of stories to exchange and share.
Yep, I am going on a little trip.
You are. We're letting you out of the office. Diplomatic mission.
We'll be back next time.
All right.